Good morning. No, I haven't been studying very hard all week, to be honest with you. we've had quite a few other distractions. But it's good to be here this morning, and it's good to have my whole family here. Sorry, but trying to make it this morning for a little while anyways. So it's been kind of a stressful week for us, but we can think of all the what ifs, but we're really thankful that Trent is here. Because it was a pretty serious injury. I've known people that died from that very same thing. But God is good. Years ago, when I broke my ankle, I was laid up, couldn't walk, probably for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And during that time, I got pretty bitter about it, but I'm not sure what happened. This little saying, and I keep telling myself whenever something happens, is it could always be worse. It could always be worse. And there's probably not anyone here that can't say that. If something happens to you, it could be worse. It really could. Am I doing something? So we're thankful that Trent came home Wednesday evening. Not sure what time. Tuesday was a pretty rough day. Lots of pain. But so therefore I didn't get a lot of studying done. I was hoping Jerry would call me and let me off, but I think they came up Tuesday, I think. And he had this balloon, and I wish he was here. But he had this balloon that said, get well, and then it said, milk it for all it's worth. So I knew right then and there I'm not going to be let off. But so this morning I've got just a couple of things. And thinking, when Jerry asked me, it was probably a month and a half ago, I was thinking about what I was going to preach on. And then with the events this week, I felt like God was leading me something else to talk a little bit about our experience. But question I have is, and I want someone to answer me, does God have feelings? Yes or no? Yes. Does he have the same feelings as you and me? Probably some. And this, by the way, and a few thoughts before my message. See, I was just taught how to preach in my Sunday school class this morning. One person said he heard a preacher say in closing 4 different times. I'll try not to do that this morning, Eldon. But in thinking, as I watched, it was on Tuesday, Trent was in really, really bad pain. And as a father, move it up. Is that better? As a father, I would have given anything to take his place. I really would have. And then I was thinking about this, and when in Matthew it talks about the crucifixion there, and Christ was on the cross, and he goes, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how God was watching his son suffer and die. Now, Trent had both of us in there most of the day on Tuesday. And during his pain attacks, we were there trying to comfort him. But when Christ was going through this whole thing, his Father, God, turned his back on him. Can you imagine that? And can you imagine how God felt? I'm just, maybe he didn't, but I kind of think he did. He had to turn his back on Christ as he suffered there. And what's even worse, I think he could have stopped it. He had the power to, but he didn't. And John is in verse everybody knows, and it's become real, more real to me this week, is the love God had for each of us. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." His only son. I've got three. But that's his only son. And I was just thinking, my thoughts went to Abraham and how Abraham had one son. God asked him to sacrifice him. I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if I could do that to any of my sons. Just something, things I was thinking about. All right. That was a couple things I was thinking about as preparing here. And then I would like to read in 1 Corinthians 12. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Starting in verse 12 through 26. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized in one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of us, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the foot, to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And the verse I like is the last verse there. It says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." How many of you have smashed your finger? Thumb. Ruth already did it. I need a volunteer. Well, I'd like to demonstrate what happens. If someone would like to come up here, and you can choose your thumb, your finger, I don't really care, but I'm going to smash it, and I want the rest of y'all to observe what happens. Any volunteers? I see I chose the wrong sermon. I should have chose about persecution. There'll be no reaction, though. For those of you, before air gun or nail guns, we just did a lot of this. Now, I've smashed, I mean, someone tell me, what happens when you, I mean, smash it so bad, you know, it gets that instant blood in that nail, and it's just excruciating pain, what's the first thing that happens? Someone.
Yell.
What? Jason said his other hand comes and grabs it. You sure you just didn't hold out here like this and keep right on? Okay, that's the first thing, right? You drop what you're doing, and your other hand comes in like this. Not only that, you go, ooh, your back bends. You start yelling and screaming. Your feet jumping up and down. See, your whole body is reacting to that one little hurt. Well, it's probably not little. Okay? And in thinking of that, and thinking of the church, we're all different. We're not the same. We have different gifts, but and thinking of what happened Monday night, you know, we think we have our priorities straight. What's important and what's not, and what we're going to do, but you find out real quick when you have a member, and I'm talking about my immediate family, is sick, gets hurt. I mean, everything just stops. Everything. And you begin to realize that what you thought was really important isn't. You don't really care. Our main focus was to get him well and home. I didn't really care. I didn't care anything. Dropped everything we did to get him well. I wonder how it is in our church family here. We have someone who gets hurt, and I'm speaking to myself because I'm stepping on my own toes when I say this. Someone's in pain, and we just keep right on going. It's like sometimes our natural body is probably more smarter than we are in that area. Because, I remember I was cutting with a bandsaw and the blade was dull and I'm pushing and pushing and all of a sudden it goes through and just psh, and everything stops. I do everything. I grab it, get a Band-Aid or something. But I wonder, my challenge is each of us, nobody's perfect, and we all have our hurts, and is our main focus to get our church or a member or back healing, back well again? And then let's read chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. Known as the love chapter. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I came a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. In thinking of love, this love that is being talked about here is the agape love. And what is it? What is agape love? Is it something that comes natural to us? I don't think so. It's a deliberate choice of the one who loves rather than the worthiness of the one who is loved. In other words, agape love is something I have to decide I'm going to do to someone else. And I wonder sometimes if the reason we can't minister to others is because we don't have the agape love. We want something, we want love someone in return, and we know if we love that person, we won't get it. When we love, we will recognize problems and failures in people, and that's pretty much a given thing. And that sometimes for myself, that's why I don't, because I'm going to realize that the person I'm trying to love or minister to is not perfect. But we do not lose faith in the possibilities of what people might become. When we love, we will recognize problems and failures in people, but we do not lose faith in the possibilities of what people might become. And in thinking of this, when you bang your finger or your thumb and it's bleeding or something, it's a big cut, what do? You put a Band-Aid on it, right? I'm going to tape this up here. That looks like a Band-Aid. And the challenge I want to leave with you this morning, do we continually bash people with a hammer, or do we grab a Band-Aid and bandage it for them? And the thought I want to leave with you is, are you a hammer or are you a Band-Aid? And I, be honest with you, that really, I'm stepping on my own toes when I studied this, because too many times we see someone that's hurt and we say, well, they asked for it, you know, that they had it coming. That's a hammer, boom. And we just keep coming up with that stuff, and this guy's hurting and hurting, just keep on hitting him and hitting him. Rather, we should grab that Band-Aid and close that wound as fast as we can, allow for healing. I'm going to read you a saying that I found this just last night. My printer wouldn't work, so I had to write this, and hopefully I can read my writing. It says, I went to the Lord's clinic to have my routine checkup, and I confirmed I was ill. When Jesus took my blood pressure, he saw I was low on tenderness. When he read my temperature, the thermometer registered 40 degrees of anxiety. He ran electrocardiogram and found I needed several love bypasses, since my arteries were blocked with loneliness and could not provide for an empty heart. I went to an orthopedic because I could not walk by my brother's side, and I could not hug my friends since I had fractured myself when tripping with envy. He also found I was short-sighted since I could not see beyond the shortcomings of my brothers and sisters. When I complained about deafness, the diagnostic was that I had stopped listening to Jesus' voice on a daily basis. For all that, Jesus gave me a free consolation thanks to his mercifulness. So my pledge is, once I leave this clinic, only take the natural remedies he prescribed through his words of truth. Every morning, take a full glass of gratitude, When getting to work, take one spoon of peace. Every hour, take a pill of patience, one cup of brotherhood, and one glass of humility. When getting home, take one dose of love. May God give you, for every storm, a rainbow, for every tear, a smile, for every care, a promise, and a blessing in each trial, for every problem life sends, a faithful friend to share, and an answer to each prayer. I hope I touched someone. It touched me. And the one thing here is, it really got me. It says, he also found when I was short-sighted, since I could not see beyond the shortcomings of my brothers and sisters. I know for me, so many times I can't see because all I see is their shortcomings. We have to look beyond that at the possibilities of what someone might become. This is all I have. I've asked Mikey to play some music, and I would like, we haven't done this in a while, but I would like, if you feel led, if you think of somebody right now, and I'm sure, as soon as I said that, someone came to your mind, is just get up, and if it's a word of encouragement, just tell them that. Or if you want to pray with them, a word of prayer, do that. Because that's what church is about, is encouraging and blessing each other. We haven't did that just for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. And the thing is, it just doesn't bless the person that's receiving it, but the person giving it comes away with a very good feeling. So Mike, do you have something? You can go ahead and play it. And as he plays it, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, not very long. If you have somebody in mind, if you just want to bless them, word of prayer or just encouragement, just go for it.